Welcome to Rah Rah Riverdale, a Riverdale fan podcast. We keep the episodes intentionally short because we know you don't have time for nonsense. I'm Al.
I'm Joe.
Let's get right into the episode. Actually, let's not. Let's not get right into the episode. We have a bit of a mea culpa to do here. Fans of our show might have noticed that there has been a very long absence of Rah Rah Riverdale. That's only the public appearance of it. I hate to tell everybody, we've been doing these podcasts, all 137 episodes since the very beginning, over on a platform we did not realize was no longer a going concern. We've been publishing these, you know, since the very beginning to our GeoCities account, and I guess sometime in like 2019 they just shut that down, and I didn't notice.
Yeah.
I've been hitting publish on these things.
Honestly, it's a big oof for us. It's super disappointing. Maybe we can re-release all these at some point. But the good news is we caught it in time for the finale. You know, we finally figured out. I never thought to do it before, but on the penultimate episode, I'm like, you know what? This is an end of an era. Me and Al have been doing this for 160 some episodes. I'm going to listen. I just want to see what it sounds like, you know, when Al's done all of his magic and he's done all of his editing. I want to hear what a pod. I went and you'd think that we haven't done a podcast since at some point in season one.
Yeah, like after, which is crazy.
Like people would think that we'd never got our microphone issues worked out.
Right? We sound great, I think. It took us till season five, but I think we sorted it out nicely.
The last few years have been nothing, and just the fact that people haven't been able to appreciate that just really...
Here's the thing.
But like I said, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I keep meticulous backup. So I do have the episodes. We will publish them, rest assured. You know, and we can consider it sort of a rewatch, right? A relive...
That's what people do. As soon as you're done with the series, you just go ahead and start day one rewatch.
Yeah.
And we'll be there. Every one of our episodes fresh to discover. We'll call it Relive Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the rewatch podcast.
I like it. It's just a shame that the creative director interview didn't get heard by anybody. You know?
I know. I'm surprised they didn't say anything.
Yeah. Well,
but I discussed
maybe
the show.
I
think they actually retweeted the interview that went to nothing. That's kind of crazy, you know?
Well, they needed to be on the ball and check that stuff. I don't know how that slipped by them.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of quality control? Come on.
All right. Our episodes didn't come out, so you haven't heard our thoughts on really the most of the series, everything since the end of season one, I guess. Let's talk about how we feel about the special final season here going into the finale. Joe, how do you feel right now? What are you feeling? What emotions are welling up in you?
I got to say, I thought this final season was a real love letter to all Archie fans, both old and new. And, you know, we're old school. We've been fans of Archie since the comics.
All of the Sabrina episodes too. That's the other thing nobody heard, the Sabrina episodes.
Yeah, we covered a Netflix spinoff. There's so much to catch up on when we get to reliving all of Riverdale. I thought it's a great way to get, you know, this little sending them back into the 50s is a great way to get all those great happy days aesthetics, you know, the sock hops and the poodle skirts and then also the sex and depression we've come to be associated with the YA television label. So like I'm glad we got all that kind of wholesome sensibility, but all of the, you know, mental illness and neurodivergency and crazy sex that we want to see kids having.
It's been one sexy season. I was thinking about my favorite episodes and it was hard to pick just one because, you know, I'm a big fan of the Archie horror stuff, right? That's kind of been my thing. I've talked about it at length.
I mean, you're the one that twisted my arm to do Sabrina. I'm like, I don't ask too much to cut. And you're like, I got to get more of that occult shit.
So for me, like the I couldn't pick just one favorite episode this season. I had to go with both of the Halloween episodes. Episode 5, it's the, you know, big Halloween sex episode. Episode 11 is the Halloween 2. You know, you got the ghost show. You got the killer milkman, right? You got the classic, timeless. What do they call it? Destroying the mailboxes with the bat.
Smashing the mailbox.
It seems like they should have a better name for that. And then the three-way. Mishmash
mailbox is what we called it.
Yeah, the Archie Betty three-way. Like I said, sexy season, and Halloween 2 was no exception.
I mean, it's bold, honestly, to do two Halloween episodes in one calendar year. But, you know, when you got that much, Dark Archie bulging at the seams, it's got to come out somewhere.
Oh, yeah, he was bulging. So what about you? What's your favorite episode of the season?
Oh, I love the bowling episode where they all went. Oh, my God. It's who doesn't love going to a bowling lane?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't even have to change your shoes in the 50s, right? You've already basically got bowling shoes on.
Yeah, you already got bowling shoes. It's nice to get something out of, Pops, have a location where the kids can kind of suck down a chili dog and throw a couple gutter balls I also liked it was a pretty sex-free episode too. You know, it's kind of nice to have, and bowling, you're just as far away from that axis as you can possibly get. So it's nice
for
the show
kind of
punch.
That one scene with the bowling ball.
I mean, it's still Riverdale, right? It's still Riverdale.
Yeah.
At least he took the hat off.
Fair. I was surprised to see that Pops has a whole bowling alley in the back. Like, you just walk through this one door.
Oh, that was at the back of Pops?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I didn't get that in the town's geography.
Yeah, it's right behind the milkshake mixer. It's crazy.
All right, well.
How about the least favorite episode? Because, you know, they can't all be hits, right? Here's what I want to do. At the same time, we're going to go and we're going to say the name of our least favorite episode this season, because I have a feeling we might be on the same page.
All right, count us down.
Count it down. 3, 2, 1. Dirty Dancing.
Oh, how did I know? Yeah. How did I know?
Look, I know it is supposed to be the 1950s, right? But look, in the real world, it's 2023, and you just can't say things like that.
Especially coming from Betty. Yeah. I mean, in front of Josie and all the pussycats, it's just fucking it's ridiculous. They should have never made it out of the writer's room.
I agree.
You know, and they can't. Go ahead. There's so much we can go in on this episode on.
Yeah, you can't keep going back to the same well of, oh, Betty did something shocking on the dance floor, right? What? It's been like 4 seasons now.
Yeah, they need to find a new gimmick to generate drama, because it's just like there's not that much a person can do on a dance floor that's scandalous, to be honest. No. And, you know, this is just kind of like shocking and gross. And you know what else? The thing that really sticks in my craw? I don't like what they're trying to imply about Dick Clark. The man's dead. He can't even defend himself.
Agreed.
The rocking New Year's Eve never recovered from his loss. And now we're doing this. We're doing this as dancing on his corpse. With the thinly veiled Riverdale bandstand, I didn't care for it. It seemed unkind.
I've heard of punching down, but this man's 6 feet under. Let's give him a break.
It's harder to get. Yeah, you need an excavator to punch lower than that.
Okay, so we're all caught up. I think it's time to get into this amazing series finale. If it's even the series finale, let's put that out there. We've got a lot of news on the horizon that we have heard rumors about. You know, nothing's confirmed yet, but there's some discussion out there about perhaps a few spinoffs in the works. Like there's a Jughead Veronica one with them going to New York, which excites
me. And I know, and I know we just got off of a negative segment, but I can't help but point out that I think it was a real waste how they announced these things like 3 seasons ago. Because I don't know what they're thinking with all these fake-out Jughead deaths. Like, we know him and Veronica are going to go to New York City after season 7, so what are they even trying to do?
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a good moniker for this, because I really like Bughead, but Vughead just doesn't work quite the same way to me.
I was always on the Geronica.
Geronica? Okay.
Yeah.
or Jugonica. I like Jugonica.
But yeah, it's, that's the thing. You know, I mean, I'm excited about the idea. Who doesn't want to see them in New York City? It's just like, it felt like it stole some of the tension out of some of these later seasons. Mm-hmm. What about Kevin going to France by himself?
Oh, sacre bleu. I'm so happy about this one.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
Didn't get near enough Kevin in this series. So seeing his adventures in France, especially the way they sent him off in this finale episode. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I didn't know they had basketball teams in France, but apparently they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Basketball teams in France. What will they think of next? American fries? Come on.
Who knows? Another one that we've heard, you know, rumors of, but also, like, you know, minor confirmations on social media accounts and stuff, is the Archie and Betty movie that I think they're planning on doing.
That a trilogy, but I woke up today, saw on Twitter that they're bumping it down because of the writer.
Here are the weekly highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Apple TV is releasing a new series based on Blake Crouch's novel Dark Matter. Aaron and I are big fans of his work, so we're picking up the new show on day one. Join us this Wednesday for the preview podcast.
The Shogun Limited series might be over, but that doesn't mean our Shogun coverage has to end. We've got the wrap-up podcast releasing this Tuesday, where we'll consider all your feedback and final thoughts on a series. And because we like the show so much, we decided to go all the way back to 1980 to cover the first TV adaptation of the novel. Do what you can to find a copy and join us this Thursday for the first of our four-part podcast on the 1980 Shogun miniseries.
And finally, the latest first-run movie, The Fall Guy, features Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. He's a stuntman tasked with finding the star of his ex-girlfriend's movie when he suddenly goes missing. Is it a rom-com? Yes. Does that mean I'll automatically hate it? Not if the trailer lives up to its promise. Join us for the podcast on Bald Move Pulp this Thursday night.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R.R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right. I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into season two.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Your Strike and some other kind of mix-ups are bumping it down to just a miniseries. Six-episode miniseries.
Oh,
although
okay.
This is the one everyone wants, right?
Yeah.
Barchi. The Barchi fans going crazy for this one. We might have to unretire the Riverdale feed for some of these spinoffs. I mean, don't hold.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, a very special isn't your speed. We've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
Us to it because, you know, there's so much stuff out there that we want to cover. I mean, we've been pigeonholed as Riverdale podcasters for 7 seasons now.
Right? We're so much more than that. So much more.
Yeah.
I will say one thing about this finale is it surprises me how little sex there was. I expected more, I guess, of Riverdale.
Well, I mean, we talked about it. They've kind of done all the sex, so I thought this was more about closure.
Yeah, I guess what they lack in quantity, they make up for in quality. You know, they're really venturing into this finale goes into a lot of the sex niches that you wouldn't really expect to see on this show, right? I mean, there's, you know,
like what the kids are calling basket weaving.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty incredible to see in action.
Action weaving, if you will.
Action weaving. Uh huh. You know, there's the milkshake stuff that I think everybody remembers from this finale, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jughead just goes to town on that thing, and I'm here for it. Honestly, I'm here for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the hand jive, they brought that back for the 50s. That's, don't usually see old fashions with that much flair.
Yeah, especially after season 3 was a hand stuff season. I mean, I thought they got that all out of the system, but here they're coming back, and they're kind of reinventing the wheel, and I'm impressed.
And it's a callback. It serves as a nice callback to, you know, those season 3 vibes.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one thing that didn't really do it for me in this series finale, and it's that Jughead just contemplating the milkshake. I felt like it was a bad choice. You know, it's a 4-minute, or at least it felt like it. I think it was like a 4-minute slow push in on Jughead. It's just too much. It's too much time to spend on one man looking at a milkshake. And he's got the lazy eye, and that's kind of all I could see during that shot.
I know people are crazy about Wonders right now, but it's really not that impressive.
No, all you're doing is pushing in on a man in a milkshake. It's not that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I got it in the first 12 seconds, and now you want me to watch 3.5 more minutes of it.
Right. And, you know, nothing wrong with the lazy eye, but, you know, maybe not push in on it for 4 minutes. That's too much work for a lazy eye to do.
I agree.
You know, I also thought it might be nice to go around and talk about our own main characters and what we thought about how they left things. And, of course, the man of the hour, practically his show, Archie. How we feel about how the post-Riverdale trajectory for Archie is.
I mean, this is how you know that Riverdale is a great series, because they saved the best for last here, right? They, for 7 seasons now, they've been teasing the milkshake, right? And finally, Archie gets to share a milkshake with Betty for the first time.
Which is, in this show, it's so weird, but it's actually, that's actually a more intimate act than actual intimacy. Just sharing a milkshake, that's like what's after home base. The dugout, that's the step of on Riverdale. That's when you're official.
Yeah, well, what's after the game, right? You go and you celebrate with a milkshake.
The milkshake, post-game milkshake. That's right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons that this is the season where he finally became cooler than Jughead. And we know that's like his inferiority complex, the jug, as we've been calling him. It was something that was like getting in his way, and him learning to overcome that. Even though he's got the handicap of not having nearly as cool a hat.
Yeah, it's just kind of sad and pathetic. Honestly, pathetic, the way he was, you know, trying to outdo Jughead every time. And he just came off looking like a fool. But
And the big arc, the big personal arc he was on, avenging the desecration of his father's remains. Yeah, I thought it just was really satisfying the way he got even on those shady fungus merchants. You know, they just... Yeah, they thought they're going to get away with something slick, and you just you can't get away with that. Not in Riverdale. Mm-mm.
I would say I thought it was I was a little disappointed that he had to resort to, you know, tit for tat, desecrating the graves of the merchant, the fungus merchants. But that feels kind of more a Jughead move to me.
Yeah, it's very old, and it's a kind of Old Testament, you know, like desecration for desecration. But there's a certain, you know, it's also got a certain kind of pleasing balance of scales of justice aspect to it too. Gross. Absolutely. Though.
Oh, the graphic nature of that scene, yeah. All right, let's talk about maybe Betty as the next character. You know,
Betty. You know, I've had a, I've sometimes had difficult relationships with my parents, and it felt good that she's able to expose her mother as the fraud she is.
Yeah, yeah. It's been since season one that we've been looking for this. I mean, how long have we been saying what a just horrible, loathsome character this is? Played beautifully by Madsen Amcheck. I don't want to disparage the actor, but the character itself, so hateable.
Oh, you have to be a fantastic actor to generate that much heat. I mean, people hate this character. I hate this character. I'd run her over in the street and back up if I saw her crossing the road.
Yeah, she could use a little grave desecration, I think. Here's the thing. I've seen a lot of really despicable characters, completely hateable characters on TV. Like, Kai Winn from DS9, right? I'm thinking Adora Krellen from Sharp Objects.
Joffrey Baratheon from Game of Thrones.
Right. Ted Lasso from Ted Lasso.
Hannibal Lecter, Nurse Ratched.
Mm-hmm. Of course, from our Succession podcast, Roman Roy.
I'm glad you pointed out, because we haven't been entirely pigeonholed in Riverdale. We did have that one Succession podcast, too.
Yeah. We'll get that put up too, for sure.
How do you feel about Veronica?
Oh, I don't consider her to be the main character.
Oh, I know we've gone back and forth on that, but I think where she led it, you're probably right. So let's just move on to the next one.
Let's move on to Jughead. Talk about him. You know, he may not be the coolest person on the block anymore, but he's finally cooler than Cheryl. That was a big moment for him.
Yeah, the coolness pyramid of Riverdale really shifted on its foundations. And in all the tumbling, it turns out Jughead managed to slip ahead of Cheryl.
Yeah, definitely.
The thing is that what had me reeling, though, is they strongly implied that Jughead was just a figment of Archie's imagination this entire time, like a real Fight Club situation, Tyler Durden situation.
See? And, what have I been
saying?
And I got
to give you credit. You were out front, an early proponent of the Jughead's not real theory. As far back as season three, the hand season, that's when the jig started to become up.
Well, okay, so I've been saying it. I've been beating this drum. Apparently, people haven't been hearing me beat the drum, so let's do it again here. Show me a single solitary scene where he is A, with a main character, and B, has a speaking part, because I have been asking for 7 years and nothing. And now I'm right.
Well, I mean, there was that one scene in my favorite episode, The Bowling Alley, with Veronica.
No, I said main character.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, I can't think of one. I honestly can't think of a single one.
Yeah, show me. Write in to our email address if you guys want to have a discussion about that, because I think I'm right on this. And the show is basically saying it.
So you've had the Jughead's not real theory. I got maybe a competing theory, or maybe we can find a way to unify them. There's a thing I want to talk about, and I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. It's the final scene, the way they shot that. I think it's fair to ask. I think we're supposed to ask as audience, when did Jughead actually slip into his coma? And I'm not talking about just season 7. I'm going all the way back to season 1, episode 1. That's how completely rethinking I'm doing on this whole enterprise.
Oh my God. I'm thinking back on it. Yeah, I think that tracks.
Okay, let me sample a couple of apocalypse events on the show, and you tell me whether you think this coma theory neatly ties everything up. I think you could easily make the argument that this started all back in season 4 when the birds attacked.
Yeah. No, actually, dude, it explains all of the post season 4 bird attacks too.
Exactly. We've been saying, why are the birds so angry in Riverdale? Mm-hmm. Well, it's because none of this is happening. It's all a fever dream.
We thought it was that Hitchcock homage episode, but it turns out
they kept coming. You can't, like, you know, two homages, maybe three. They were telling us something. Then you think about the situation, the goats back in season 3.
Yep.
The never ending noodle at Pops in season 2.
Season 2. Mm-hmm.
How in the hell would that be possible? Like, it's something we just thought was like a mistake or something that they didn't fix, but like that it's very intentional.
Yeah. You have I've never seen a noodle that long.
No.
Okay. Okay. So the question then, because now you really got me spinning out here. If Jughead is a figment of Archie's imagination, which I think is true, that means that all of this is actually Archie's coma, right?
Oh my God. This is why we're doing Relive Riverdale. We're going to get to the bottom of the coma.
We're going to each
we'll have to record a special like 5-minute addendum to each podcast where we do coma watch. Is this the episode where Jughead slips into the coma?
So did Archie desecrate Jughead's father's remains? I will have to see, man.
That's what I'm telling you. The board is just might as well be flipped upside down and at right angles, because we're playing a whole new game now.
All right, there's one final character here we need to talk about. Main character, Cheryl. I guess it was nice that Cheryl felt comfortable enough in her community to come forward and confess her love for her brother, but honestly, I'm not sure I'm a fan. I'm not.
It's like HBO's thing, the whole incest stuff. But I know a lot of people say, well, it's her stepbrother.
Yeah, and it's an homage to, you know, the just the zeitgeist in pornography right now. I understand what they're going for, but it's too much for me.
They're just, stepbrother, what, a half brother? I don't know. I just know that they were raised together in that house, and it really squicks me out. Didn't like it.
Agreed. I think that's all the time we have for the episodes of this season and that finale. I do want to do something that has been a staple of Rah-Rah Riverdale now for 7 seasons, and that's I want to get to the feedback, because, you know, our community is such a huge part of the show.
I can't believe we have some feedback for this episode. You know, we were getting some for a long time, but then that made sense. We weren't publishing the episodes properly, but we've actually got feedback. Wow.
Yeah, we do. We have a couple of messages here that I wanted to read.
Send that feedback into rahrahriverdale@gmail.com. Again, we'll be doing the Relive Riverdale, and we've got some of the spinoffs, baby. We're going to keep the email consistent, so that's going to remain open. I'm excited. What's our feedback?
Yeah, first up, we got an enthusiastic fan mail for Rah Rah Riverdale podcast celebrating the epic finale. It says, "Dear Rah Rah Riverdale podcast team, oh my gosh, where do I even begin? I'm still riding the wave of emotions after watching the series finale of Riverdale, and I just had to reach out to express my overwhelming enthusiasm and gratitude."
Oh, that's you guys, sweet.
Well, listen to this. "You guys have been my lifeline throughout this entire journey, and I couldn't think of a better way to celebrate the show's epic conclusion than by writing to my favorite podcast."
Wow, wow, wow. Thank you.
"First and foremost, can we all just take a moment to appreciate how the finale tied up all those intricate plot lines and character arcs? I mean, it's like the writers sprinkled some magic Riverdale dust over everything, and suddenly, all the loose ends were neatly woven into a mind-blowing tapestry. The twists and turns, the unexpected revelations, and the way they paid homage to the characters' growth over the seasons, I was simply left in awe."
I mean, like I said, the double coma Jughead reveal, my mind was reeling.
"Let's talk about that final showdown. The tension, the stakes, the heart-pounding music. It was like I was right there in the midst of it all. And that surprise team-up of the core four with all their allies facing off against the ultimate villain? Pure genius. I had goosebumps from the moment they stood together, ready to fight for their town, their loved ones, and everything they've endured."
They desecrated all those corpses.
They did. They did. "The writers truly outdid themselves with that epic battle sequence. But, oh my Serpent Queen, can we talk about Bughead? Betty and Jughead's reunion was everything I ever hoped for and more. The way they finally laid all their cards on the table, addressing their past mistakes, and vowing to face the future together. It was the closure our shipper hearts needed. And that heartfelt, tear-jerking proposal under the twinkling stars, I was a puddle of emotions."
But here's where the spinoffs get screw us up. I mean, I'm right there with you, but we know Jughead's going to New York with Veronica. So all this is going to end in tears. And I wish I knew that? Season 1, Episode 1 of Veronica and Jughead in New York. Like, I would rather wait another couple months than have that spoiled like 3 seasons ago.
Yeah, let me live in that for a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be short-lived. "And let's not forget the emotional roller coaster that was Choni. Cheryl and Tony's journey has been a wild ride filled with ups and downs, and that scene where they declare their unwavering love for each other in front of the blossoming serpent tree, I had tears streaming down my face. It was a powerful testament to the strength of their relationship and the growth of their characters."
Yeah, I still don't. Again, if I'm Tony, I wouldn't join a polycule with a brother and sister. But you know, if I guess that's where they end. That's where they end.
Wrapping it up here, I can honestly go on for days, but I'll wrap it up by saying that the series of finale of Riverdale was a masterpiece that left me both satisfied and wanting more. Your podcast has been my trusted companion throughout this entire show, and I can't wait to hear your breakdown of the finale. Keep up the incredible work, and please know that you're appreciated by fans like me who just can't get enough of the Riverdale magic. Also, wanted to remind you about your father's appointment this Wednesday. Can you still drive us? Love, Mom."
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Is this my mom?
It's definitely not my mom. She's dead.
Or, of course, your personal connection to the whole desecration plotline. Well, that's still, you know what? That's an incredibly positive piece of feedback. And thanks, Mom. Love you back.
You know, they can't all be positive emails, though. We do have some people, believe it or not, who really dislike the show and our podcast, actually.
I mean, none of them are perfect, so let's we can improve. I mean, shoot, we misuploaded like 6.5 seasons of the podcast. Obviously, there's room to grow here. So what they got to say?
And I want to give voice to all sides of the issue, you know? I don't want to just be a fan podcast. So let's get into this. "Dear Al and Joe, I need to take a moment to share my deep-seated disappointment and concerns regarding not only the Riverdale series finale, but also the direction your podcast, Rah Rah Riverdale, has taken."
All right.
"The finale of Riverdale has left me questioning why I even liked the show in the first place. Much like your podcast has me pondering the authenticity of your intentions. My experience with both has only deepened my disillusionment, making me wonder whether the enthusiasm you project is simply a facade to hide your total lack of critical thinking and meaningful engagement.
I don't know if I can take any useful from this feedback. Does it get better?
No. As podcast hosts, your discussions lack the nuance and thoughtful critique that I would expect from people hosting a podcast dedicated to a show. It's disheartening to witness your transformation from potential commentators to unwavering cheerleaders, as if you're driven by a need to uphold a narrative rather than engage in thoughtful analysis.
What the?
Alan Joe, the manner in which you've dismissed or ignored the show's glaring flaws lead me to question your ethical framework. Your enthusiastic support for Bughead, regardless of the narrative inconsistencies, is deeply perplexing and undermines your credibility as impartial hosts.
Everyone loved Bughead.
We certainly did.
You're an outlier.
Your sparse and often superficial coverage of Choni is a testament to your lack of understanding regarding the significance of representation and diversity in media. It's disappointing that you've chosen to overlook the complexities of these characters' journeys, highlighting a lack of empathy and a disregard for the voices that have looked to your podcast for validation. This total absence of introspection and accountability is endemic to a generation that too often shirks responsibility for the world's problems, imagining themselves blameless and above reproach.
All right.
Your unwillingness to engage in open discussions and address the show's missteps implies a lack of respect for your listeners' intelligence and a disinterest in elevating the conversation around the show's themes and implications.
You know what? I'm getting a healthy lack of respect for this particular listener's intelligence and his accusing me of my moral and ethical framework. I mean...
Let's just settle it down a little bit.
This is some brain rotted boomer shit that we're talking about right here. This is, I was like sitting on my hands and not good, but then this whole generational dig.
Come on, man. We need to take it back a notch.
A notch?
Yeah.
I think he's five notches over what I would consider dump the delete already, but okay.
All right. I don't want to finish this. I don't think we should finish this email.
Oh no. I gotta hear what this fucking genius has to say.
No, you don't.
About the how I'm shitting on minorities and I got my head up my ass and my morals and ethics are as tattered as Jughead's fucking hat.
I can't read it, man. I can't do it.
Do it. Do it.
Okay. In conclusion, my disappointment isn't restricted to the show's finale, but extends to the direction of your podcast.
Okay.
I implore you both to consider the ethical and moral implications of the content you produce and recognize the weight of influence you hold in shaping fan perspectives.
This fucking guy. It's gotta be a guy.
P.S. Don't forget, your mom wants me to get this thing on my neck. Look, Dad. Love, Dad.
Ah. Okay. All right, this makes a hell of a lot more sense. All right, I'll be there. But we're talking. We got to talk. You can't keep talking to me like this, Dad. Not in front of my friends. Not on the podcast. All right, I got to say, I think that there might be some corpse desecration in my family's future. So we might both have a personal connection by the end of relive. Anyway, speaking, we can hope. Speaking of relive, I definitely want to talk about that. Don't go anywhere. Don't subscribe for the feed. We're gonna run all this back. Even like I said, we're gonna do that 5-minute coma watch. So even the episodes are already out there. We're gonna release a special editions. Relive Riverdale. Starting what do you think, in a week or two? We're gonna take a week off. Have a week for a wrap up podcast.
I looked while we were recording this podcast while you were going on about the Jughead coma, and the backups are gone.
Rewatch Riverdale is going to be starting.
Rewatch them all.
Starting in a week or two. That's a little bit more work than I was anticipating, but we're going to do it. That's how much we love Riverdale. We love Riverdale. You love rah-rah Riverdale. I know we've been gone for a couple of years, but you want to see rewatch. Make sure to leave us those 5-star iTunes reviews. That's how we grow the show. We want to make sure rewatch starts strong. You can support us on Patreon, Kickstarter, Indiegogo. We got a merch store, PayPal, Subbable. Don't forget Cash App, Venmo. OnlyFans, GoFundMe, Fansly.
And please, before you go, just check out my new student film. I've been working really hard on it for the last few years, and I think it's come together really well. Yeah, check that out.
What's the teaser?
There's a lot of hand stuff and milkshakes in there, so I'm excited about it.
Inspired by Riverdale. Okay. People want to check that out for sure. Make sure you check out that link. Otherwise, rahrahriverdale@gmail.com is how you send us feedback for the rewatch Riverdale. We'll be back in a couple weeks to start season one, episode one. We're excited. Can't wait to get to the bottom of this whole coma situation. Until then, we'll be here. I'm Joe.
I'm Al.
Final time, rah-rah Riverdale.